The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I got a message from someone who just who was interested in enrolling in our Super Bundle. That's the new bundle we put together where we have all the maps programs, and you know, I'm just explaining to the audience.
It's everything.
Everything's in. All of our maps programs are in there, plus a new one that we're going to be releasing soon, or a new program, I should say, that we're releasing soon. Anyway, this individual was interested in weight loss, right? Like most of the people who enroll in some of our programs. And he was like, but I need help with the nutrition piece. And so I talked to him about the fasting and nutrition guide bundle that we have, which is separate. Now, here's what I'm thinking. This is our 2-year anniversary today.
Yep.
Today, right?
2 years.
Why don't since we're promoting the Super Bundle as a great way to start 2017, like start your year now. It's got everything you need for your workouts.
I love
everything.
Where you're going.
Maps Anabolic, Maps Performance, Maps Aesthetic, Maps Anywhere, Maps Prime to set them all up. So you've got your entire year of working out and phases and all these different things broken down, explained to you, videos, everything. But we want to give you the nutritional component too because it's not included in that. So let's do it.
I love this. Let's run it all month long, all of January to kickstart for everybody that's getting started on their new year. So they got everything they possibly need. Anybody who's bought it this beginning of this month. So if we had somebody that bought the Super Bundle already, we'll kick it to you guys free. You guys just email Doug. If you already bought it, he'll make sure he sends the nutrition and the fasting guide over to you for free.
You'll get it hooked up.
And then anybody else going forward for the rest of this month, you get that Super Bundle.
That's the promotion. The happy 2-year anniversary, January, get everything started promo. Enroll in the MAPS Super Bundle, and you will get the fasting and nutrition guide absolutely free. You can find it at mindpumpmedia.com.
The pathway to healthy and sexy. We love you guys.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
God damn it, Adam.
I swear to God, he's on
one.
Peanut brittle. What is that?
Bro.
It's toffee, bro.
It's toffee?
No.
Toffee has all kinds of health benefits.
No, you didn't see him. He goes out there, and he sneaks the fucking peanut brittle.
Damn it. It's because you knew it was here, huh?
By the way, I opened that entire package up that one day.
Oh, my God.
And little by little, I'm looking at it. I'm like, there's shit missing from here. Little by little, it's going away. It's the sugar burglar.
You knew. The sugar burglar.
The sugar burglar. Adam Schaefer.
Yeah. No, I have not had that much.
Can you do me a favor, though?
We got the sugar burglar. We got the phantom dumper.
I just emptied these out so I could use it for the nitro coffee.
They
were full of these pieces of toffee. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to drink this coffee with some toffee in my mouth.
Coffee and toffee.
It's kind of a no-brainer, bro. Yeah. In fact, it's kind of silly.
Sounds
you don't.
Delicious.
Can we and do then, some? Okay, so.
Then you opened the box of peanut brittle that I said, let's throw
10 weeks ago.
Yeah, but the idea was we got to get our fucking owners or the owners of the building give us this gift bag of shit, which none of us want.
Yeah.
And we all agreed.
None
that
of us
we
want it.
It makes
that's
me
why,
angry every
that's
time
why most
somebody
of
gives me candy.
None of us want it. That's why most of it's gone.
Oh, no. None of us want it because I know that if it's open. How many times have I said this on the podcast? It's the same thing I tell my girl. Like, you cannot bring ice cream, donuts, cookies into my house because I don't have the willpower to not eat it. I have the willpower to not go buy the shit, which that's how I've survived my entire life and health and fitness.
No, I get that. That's the same reason why Justin won't go to a strip club. I mean, you got to have willpower to maintain yourself.
It is true.
Let me ask you this, Adam, because I consider you.
Want them.
I consider you to be quite a self-aware person.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have. Your ego is not so sensitive that you won't, you know, admit something. It's like you're not going to say something just because you know it's something bad because you're pretty self-aware.
Of course. Good. Give me your ego. Shit sandwich now that you're done stroking fucking guy.
Well, I think,
come on, dude. Like, we're new here. Just fucking say it.
I think it would benefit you and our audience if you were to talk about your sugar addiction. And just really, really expressed how.
Is this an intervention?
No, what we can share is we can share how And Justin and I have talked about this before. When we go on these little like excursions, right, where we take off for 2 or 3 days, I tend to, if there's going to be a time that I put a piece of toffee in my mouth or I go enjoy an ice cream somewhere or I have.
And he needs a partner in crime.
Dude, I'm laughing because you're painting the picture of like, you know, I'm going to have a little bit if I want like.
No, I'm setting the tone for all the things I'm going to list off, right? I don't know why you think I'm painting a
this
picture like
this. Motherfucker goes off, and I went off last time with you because whatever you've got is contagious. Remember? We were in the freaking grocery store, and all of us were stupid about it. We were all walking around with baskets full of, what did we get? Like, we had some cake, we had some ice cream, we had some chips. It was horrible.
It was like ice cream, yeah.
It was horrible.
Something that I've learned to do is that I don't want to deprive myself of something that if I really want something, I'm not going to deprive myself because I've maintained like good discipline throughout majority of my year when it comes to my nutritional habits. And I allow myself that freedom. Also, I allow myself to get checked, but you know, I'll assess what I'm doing and I'll go, oh wow, that's been 2 or 3 days that, yeah, you know, I've had a Diet Coke, you know, oh, there's been 2 or 3 days in a row I didn't have any leafy greens. Like, oh, it's been 2 or 3 days in a row where we ate out instead of actually making our food. Like, I'm very aware of when I do and I don't do all that stuff. And for me, it's always about improving on where I was, you know, the month before and the month before that and the year before that. And there's no doubt in my mind that.
So you're basically like, I was so bad before that now. It's better.
I don't think I was. I mean,
no, I'm just playing. So,
yeah, I mean, so bad compared to the guy that eats. Yeah. No. I think this is good. I actually think this is great. This is good. This is good. Good
intro. Yeah.
Well, it's good conversation for people because I think that there's all types of extremes and there's all. I feel like there's a healthy side to having balance and understanding. Like, listen, if I'm going to go to a movie theater every once in a while and I haven't had popcorn, I'm going to enjoy popcorn. And do I know that it's not the most ideal thing that I should be consuming? Of course I know that. But I also, it's part of the experience and sitting there with my girl and sharing a bag of popcorn while we watch a movie. It's like I've learned not to allow myself to dwell on like, oh my God, that's so bad.
It's also smart because I talk so much about the dangers and how bad some of these things are. And, you know, I'll indulge, you know, here and there as well. But like the other day I was at the movies because you just reminded me. I'm at the movies and I haven't had a Diet Coke in a long fucking time, like a long time. It's just not something I don't normally enjoy. But I'm like, I'm going to get one today. So I get one in the cup, and it says Coke on it, and I'm walking through the theater, and someone's like, Mind Pump. Hey, hey, Mind Pump's out. And now I got this like Diet Coke in my hand.
Like behind you.
And I'm immediately like, fuck. Like they're going to think like I'm a big ass, you know, hypocrite.
Yeah. No, I think that's what I've always enjoyed about our show and why I've always maintained pure honesty when it comes to that stuff because it's already happened to me plenty of times where I've been seen out. I mean, I was seen out at an internet.
Yeah, I got caught at a pizza place.
Right?
And I was just like,
I've been seen out at In-N-Out. Like, I can't think of many times where I've been seen doing something really good for myself. It just doesn't work that way, you know? But I think it's important to note that we all find some sort of balance in that. I think that.
Yeah, well, it's also you're out. You know, what are the options when you're out and you actually go out? You know, it's not like it's like this big health place, you know, this plethora of health options for you. It's like, so usually like, and I don't really go out that much, but when I am going downtown or I'm doing something with my boys, usually it's like for a treat, you know, like I'll take them to go get a cookie or something and we'll sit there, have a cookie and milk. And like, that's a thing that we do very infrequently, but it's like sometimes people will see me there.
I tend to notice. Like, my body tells me right away if I'm out of balance, like if I've been abusing something, and by abusing, I would say like, you know, we talk about the sugar or something. If I've been over consuming it, like back to back days, oh, my body lets me know. Or if I've been eating processed foods or indulging in something that, multiple times in a week, like my body lets me know. There's no like hiding it or denying. Now, I think that's the most important part is to learn to connect that and listen to that and see that. Does it mean that I'm never going to go back and still do it just because all of a sudden my shits are off, my sleep is off, I have a headache or I feel fatigued? No, because sometimes when I'm like sitting in a theater like that, you know that there's a possibility that this you could feel that way afterwards, and you make that decision that, hey, at this moment right now, I'm going to enjoy this moment, I'm going to enjoy what I'm doing, and at the risk that I may feel this way afterwards. And I think for
me, the reality is that's a very that's a healthy approach, because all joking aside, I've worked with countless people to where I'll give them that flexibility when I'm talking about nutrition, and it stresses them out to the point where they'll cry or they'll get tremendous anxiety, because now I'm telling them like, go have some popcorn, or I'm telling them like, okay, we're not going to track for the next 3 days, and it freaks them out because they're on the other side of that poor relationship to food, where they just need to eat. Everything has to be so regimented, mm-hmm. that going off causes them like emotional distress. And if you're one of those people, I mean, you may be healthy in terms of you're not eating quote unquote bad food, but you're not healthy. There's definitely a mental component that's not.
Well, think of what Dr. Andrew Hill just did when we had him on the show.
I know. I was thinking about that too.
Think about his approach with addiction with drugs. Yeah. I feel it's the same way with food.
You have to learn how to moderate.
It's also why I speak out against all these dumbasses on Instagram that glorify cheat days. Because mm-hmm. To me, I look at that as somebody who sustains from drugs as hard as they can most of the week, and then they have a day where they say, "Let's get fucking loaded," like over the top. It's
hell
like
yeah.
That's such an unhealthy relationship with food, and or it could be with drugs. Mm-hmm. Like both of them are giving us this pleasure, right? Both of these things, whether it be through food or through like a drug, we're getting some sort of pleasure from these things. And the way for you to restrict and then overindulge, to me is unhealthier than being mindful of what these things do to our body and being
minimizing it.
Yes. Yeah. And making the right choices 99% of the time. And then when you find the time where you feel like, hey, you know what? It's New Year's Eve. I'm going to pop bottles. I'm going to have a great dinner tonight. I'm going to eat some dessert and I'm going to enjoy myself, because it's a celebration for me. And it's because I don't live my life like that on a regular basis.
You know what? That all being said, so that all that stuff that we just said, are we going to have a celebratory dinner?
Fuck yeah.
Because it is our, is it today?
Oh, it's our two, ooh. It's our 2 year.
2 year anniversary today, right? This is the actual day of it. Wow. So this is the point when you actually
propose. We're a toddler, everybody.
They're supposed to propose, right? 2 years, is that what they say?
Is it?
I don't know.
Wow, I hate rules like that.
My bad. Yeah. But anyway.
We're technically 20 then, right? So this is our 20, because in podcasting, it's like dog years. It's 10 times 10, right?
Is it really?
Yeah, we're 20 years we're 20 years old.
It has to be. Yeah.
We're legal.
We're 7 years.
I feel 20. Don't think about it. Like, we're about 20 years old. Like, think about our podcasting maturity. We're not quite like all the way there, but
it's a big jump.
We're definitely not toddlers anymore.
Yeah. We're not toddlers, but we're definitely still newbies at it. Well, every time we meet people and they're like, "Oh yeah, I've been podcasting."
We're
20,
right?
11 years.
We're 20. We think we know a lot right now, but not really.
Oh my god,
we don't know.
It's about. Do you have white pubic hair? You're old.
We need to. After we're done with this, we need to listen to some of our old episodes. We haven't done that in a while.
Please God,
do we have to do that?
You know, if it was
so painful.
Sometimes I think it would be in our.
Although some of our stories that we told.
Well, that's the kind of stuff
we're
I miss.
Off the rails.
I do miss that a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
Well, tell us a story, Justin.
Tell us a story? Yeah.
Tell me about your chickens.
Yeah, what's up with your chickens?
What's going on with them? We haven't heard about what's the latest and greatest with those fuckers.
I hate those things.
You haven't eaten them yet?
They're terrible creatures.
Oh, really? Now you don't like them. You loved them.
No, I did. I loved them at first because they produced and we had 4 of them. Now we have 6 of them. Because my wife, for some reason, thought it was a good idea that, you know, these eggs that, one of them, I guess they go through this period where they, like, peck all their feathers off, and then they get all crazy, and you have to leave them alone.
What are you feeding your chickens, bro?
I don't know.
I sprinkle a little meth in their
food. Yeah.
What is it? Wait, what do you mean?
Stressing them out.
What do you mean they go crazy?
I forget what they call that, but basically.
Do they act crazy?
Yeah, well, they just, like, don't want to, like, eat or drink or do anything, and then they, like, they just sit in the coop the whole day, and they just don't want to be messed with, and they don't produce, and then they affect all the other chickens, and so everybody's in a bad mood, and nobody's producing, and it's just, like, this clusterfuck.
This is a real thing it's a real phenomenon that happens, there's actually a name for it.
Yeah, please find out, because I knew it, and I just totally, like, my mind's at a blank for that.
You're taking me back to my farm days.
Yeah. Right? But anyway, dude, so we're getting through, I'm like, all right, fine, you know, I'm kind of getting through, like, I guess this happens, or whatever, like, how do we fix this? And so we asked, like, another farmer, and he's like, yeah, why don't you get 2 eggs that, you know, that are basically fertilized and all that, and like, you know, they could just sit on them and they can grow and like they can be a mother. Like if two of them become a mother, or maybe that's what it is, they're trying to they're frustrated because they feel like they want to like mother something.
Molting.
Oh,
chickens during, molting when molting.
Okay,
so they're just depressed that they're not moms.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
And it's fucked up. And so they're like, so we give them these two eggs to basically
sit on,
and so they grow up to be chickens.
So now you have more.
So now we have six chickens, and they're going crazy. Like at night, like two of them won't even go in. I'm trying to get them in, and they won't get in because they're all pecking.
Don't you find this funny? Like in nature, like it's because they can't become a mother. Also, they get kind of crazy and stuff like that. How they like react?
Yeah, it's
this way.
It's in their genes.
I find it fascinating.
They're like, it's really.
You
weird.
Don't have a rooster, do you?
No, we don't have a rooster.
You just have a bunch of girls.
Yeah.
Now, are you? Justin's
the just one.
Just
got
the ladies.
Yeah, Justin's the main cock.
He's the rooster.
I'm the cock in the family.
What do you get? How many eggs do you get every day? Like, what's going on here?
Well, we used to get them like.
Is it supposed to be 1-to-1? Is that
days?
What it is?
Yeah, it was supposed to be 1-to-1. So we would get like 4 eggs consistently there for a while. And then that happened, so we weren't getting. And now, basically, we have 6 of them. None of them are producing. They shit everywhere.
You know what, dude?
I'm like, dude, let's get. And what changed my opinion about chickens was, so when we first got like a couple of these eggs, like they hatched, everything worked out, but then they ate those chicks. They like pecked its head off and shredded it to parts. They're evil.
Dude, your chickens are.
I was like, what?
What the fuck's wrong with your chicken?
Right?
Bro? You know what you need? You know what? I know
I was
what
like,
happened.
These are horrible.
We need to make them into chicken nuggets.
No, yeah.
We need to have some chicken nuggets.
Yeah, grill some chicken sandwiches.
You know what the problem is, dude? What? I know what the problem Adam, you know what's going on, right?
What's going on?
He's so. They need to be fucking like bossed around a little bit. Like they feel like they're punking Justin. Is what's happening. Like he's not, you know what I'm saying? He's not being alpha.
You need
enough.
To be more alpha.
I gotta alpha. It you know over what you there.
Go you in know, that fucking coop.
I haven't even paid him any attention. This
go in that.
You need to angry fuck one of them in front of the rest of them.
All right,
that's what you need to do.
And they'll all
right,
do
in,
what you say.
Right in front of all the rest of them.
You want
open
this
the
wing. Here?
Open the wings all the way up.
It's Justin the chicken fucker.
Yeah.
I don't want that as my nickname.
This is what
you chicken fucker.
New hashtag chicken fucker.
Chicken fucker.
No, all Justin's pictures I'm hashtagging chicken fucker.
I don't know about this idea, guys.
Take one out of there and fucking fry that fucker up, man.
Right in front of the
rest. And then eat that shit right in front of them. You know what I'm saying?
Just make a hard statement.
Yeah, like, in your barbecue sauce, right?
Just eat it right
the
in front
wings.
Of them.
Just I'm pouring hot sauce on it.
Just stare them down and shit.
Listen here, bitches. Yeah. You're going to get your shit together and you're going
to
start
I don't have to say anything.
Producing eggs. Yeah,
I'm just, I'm just, you know, letting, you know, it all drip down my face. Yeah.
You see, Klaku, I'm eating
see,
that bitch
I see
right now.
Yeah,
no, delicious.
What do your kids? It's actually brilliant.
What do your kids do with the chickens? Do they go in there?
Well, at first they liked it, but they don't even care. It's like, I mean, we got a dog. You know what I mean? Dogs are awesome. Chickens are evil little bastards.
Yeah, I didn't realize chickens were so bad.
Well, no, they're like. So there's going to be people that are like, oh no, chickens are awesome. I love chickens because like. You can hold them and
you know, chicken
you're
people
like petting them.
Hey, chicken
there's people, that really like chickens.
You know,
okay?
chicken,
so I'm gonna piss
chicken
people,
people
off by
are right
that.
Up there with the cat lady. You know
yeah,
what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, like people like
I'm not
them.
Too sure who's weirder. You know what I'm saying?
But these things are like cold hearted. You know what I mean? They're like they've like no soul. They just walk around like pecking their head in the ground. You know what I mean? Like I just don't trust them.
God.
I saw him eat like one of their young.
Well, since we're on this home front thing here, I mean, you just moved into a new place now, bro. You upgraded your pad, and what's life like over there? Are you acclimated? What's going on? What's going on at the home front?
Yeah, Adam helped you move in.
No, he actually helped me move out.
He didn't move out.
Okay. You guys haven't seen it yet.
Sweet.
Almost. I just got my TV set up today, and I got Dish Network with free HBO for about 6 months, so I get to watch. HBO stuff. Now
nice.
With you guys.
Have you guys? Have
finally.
You guys? Heard
I feel
of,
like I can hang out with you guys now a little bit.
I know. We didn't even have to start that like Kickstarter.
Nobody
for
wants
you.
To come over to my house.
GoFundMe.
Hey, Sal, let's watch TV. No, I don't got TV. We can read. Oh shit, I got something to do.
I found a new
dude. Game of Thrones. Get on it.
I found a new new series last night. Katrina and I just started it. We watched the first 2 episodes. I like it so far. It's on its first season. It's called Crown.
Oh, you like it?
Yeah.
Okay, because Courtney got into it, and I thought it was another one of those fucking What's that one show called that's English that's like really obnoxious?
Yeah, I know.
No, no, not like
it's on PBS.
No, it has
it looked just like I was like, "Oh, no, thank you."
It's Paddington Bear? No, I'm just kidding. No.
Paddington Bear.
It's something like that.
It's well done. It's a good one. It's good actors. It's well done. I mean, I'm into it right now. I'm only two episodes, so I'm not going to put like my full-on stamp on it and say it's the greatest show ever, but or up there. I finished Westworld, so I got through that series.
Yes.
So I'm going to start that as soon as, as soon as I get
so
home
good.
Tonight.
Yeah,
I think I'll watch the first episode.
That one was pretty cool. God, where they ended it, I'm like, where the fuck are we? What are we going to happen now? Like,
I know. It's definitely crazy. Yeah.
Right, but don't ruin it for me.
No. We won't ruin it for you. You know what? There's so much shit going on with that show. It's funny that you haven't watched it because all I think about is you. Well, that's
right?
Weird. All I think about is you.
I think of you.
I think about when I watch it with you.
All I think is
I mean,
Adam, don't feel weird about it.
Don't get this part of us because we don't always talk about this on the show because we don't want to weird people out. But, you know, Sal has his, you know, belief on how we're in the Matrix, and like when he explains it though, he actually explains it pretty well, and it sounds almost convincing. And then when you watch Westworld, you're like, oh my god, I think Sal helped write this.
Yeah. No, it's because it reminds me of Ex Machina, and you loved Ex Machina.
Hell yeah, I love that. That's a great movie.
It's a lot like that. So
what fascinates me so, and this is just a mental game obviously, but what fascinates me the most about that is if we were self-aware intelligent fucking technology, we would have no fucking idea. Literally would not know it. We would not know that that's what we were.
Well, and literally,
that's what's cool about it.
Westworld is literally that fact. Fact that you like to say right there is like that's the whole premise of this show pretty much.
That's
so
awesome.
You know, this I want to dive into this topic because it hasn't stopped going around and around in circles in my head since we hung out with Connor. So shout out to our boy Connor over at Onnit. We were all hanging out, and we were smoking, getting creative, and
allegedly
we start talking.
I wasn't.
I was out of the room.
Yeah. Liars. Yeah, we start talking, and you know, it's just great. I love when you get, you know, four or five minds like that are just free thinkers, and just start going because I've been around lots of. There's a difference to me between a intelligent free thinker and then just a really brilliant person. Right, I meet brilliant people all the time, but sometimes they're clouded by their own brilliance. How do I explain this? Like a free thinker to me, the intelligent free thinker is open to all the things that are you know, gray or just all the faux pas and things that you know, God, what's the word I'm looking for right here? Where you know, just because I'm going to say something like, for example, we're going to talk about what he brought up with the graves. Like, I would never think this way, but he brought the up that how silly it is the way we bury people.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like, why do
not being afraid of the taboos and the
taboos. That was the word I was looking for. Thank you. So he brings this up, like, you know, how ridiculous is the graves and that we bury people
lying down. It's such a waste of space.
Yeah.
It's just an old ritual. Yeah.
But you should just put them in, like he was saying, like put them in, like
standing up,
and then you can put them closer together.
Yeah, and you could fit literally five times the people in a grave. Then on top of that, I went further to say, man, that makes me really think. Like, that's so old way of thinking to even do that. I think the future of a funeral home. I think like right now it's like a morbid, scary, the place, sad, depressing, right? I see the future of like a funeral home.
Like a big party.
No, like almost like
our heads in a box. No, and it's like, turn on this button.
You guys have been to cool ones before where like if you go and you're like in the marble walls where if somebody was cremated, right? And it's like kind of fancy and nice. So I envision like this kind of museum type, like cool, but obviously more futuristic looking and cool type place that you would go. And you would have like these just names on the wall or whatever, and where you go find your family. And so I go find, let's say, my great grandfather, which this wouldn't work now because this didn't exist, but in the future, this will be here for
sure. Your great grandkids.
Yeah. Like, so my great grandkids, you would be able to plug your headphones, which we will have better technology than that by then, right? Of course. You'll go tap in, and I'll be able to see, like, stream their life. Like all their virtual, all their platforms, like, you know how
God, they're going to see all your Instagram.
Yeah, think about that. I mean, that's all data that's out there in the cloud that's going to be there forever, right? So that information is going to be able to be stored.
You don't
think
Facebook's already doing that?
I know.
Of course they are.
I guarantee
Of course they are.
Think about how many people have died now that have been on Facebook and all that.
They have their whole timeline. Remember when they established the timeline? You're like, whoa. And then they start showing you all these moments and you're like, whoa.
But just
you're creeping me out, Facebook.
For a minute, think about how fucking cool that would be. Like, and this is, like I said, this is close to my heart because I feel like I didn't have that relationship with my father. I lost it at 7 years old, and I wish I could go back and see his 33 years of his life and what he was like. And I feel like if he had, like, if it was me, like, and it was the roles were reversed, he would be able to see all this, so all the things that I've written and put out in the air, all the things that I've posted and pictures, and like you would be able to timeline and like see my life in a sense through video and listening to our voice on a podcast.
That's definitely gonna happen.
How fucking cool would that?
No, that's gonna be cool.
And think of how more celebratory their life that will be when you go visit, instead of you go sitting on a dirt piece of grass and crying to some stone. You'll be like sharing memories with like your kids and family. Like, let's go see your great grandfather today. Yeah. And you go fucking, it's a 30-minute like video on his life or a 30-minute like.
Yeah, that's cool.
How cool would that be?
Yeah, something like that's probably, it's already in the works, I guarantee you.
Right?
Yeah,
It's gotta be. I mean, and the company, and I think that would be like here's your free market thinking, which, you know, it would drive this competitiveness on companies that put these together better for you.
Of course.
So you would hire a company that like organizes all that, so it's beautiful and well played.
You know what? I just thought of a little problem with that.
Everything is data driven though.
I thought of a little bit of a problem though. Who owns the stuff that you put on social media? Do you or does the social media platform?
We own nothing.
We don't own anything.
We allow them to do whatever they want.
So my point is, would then this company be able to go to Facebook, Instagram and get all your stuff? Well, or could those companies say no?
More than likely, this is why, like you said, Facebook is probably already working on it. Facebook would be the one who'd be able to police this, right? Mm-hmm. Or the ones that would organize it.
Fuck,
or,
they're going to rule the world, aren't they?
I have said this since day one when we started this podcast.
Well, whoever knows the most about everybody.
I own some shares in Facebook. I put my money.
I'll tell you right now that Facebook is going to be. And you know, it's. I feel like
Facebook, if it was a country, would be by far the most informed of its citizens ever. Yeah. Like, they know so much about their members.
Weren't they not allowed in a couple countries? They weren't allowed in, like their government stepped in.
Well, North Korea maybe?
Well, no, I think there was like just a couple countries, not just North Korea.
I don't know, man.
That they were banned from? Is that what you said?
Yeah, like they weren't allowed access into.
Oh.
Initially. I don't know if that's still the case, but I know initially that was.
That's a really good question. I wonder if that's true. So are you Googling that right now?
I remember hearing that. Maybe it's not true. So
it might be true in some of these.
I know Google for sure wasn't allowed in China.
Bangladesh, China, Iran, North Korea, and Syria.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. All places that I could give a fuck about.
Yeah.
Except for China. China sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's a lot
but
of
people. But they banned Facebook? Like, come on, China.
Well, yeah, because they don't want, you know, some American company knowing everything about everybody.
Maybe.
That's probably exactly what
they have
is,
their
right?
own Facebook or and, something.
Oh, I bet you they do.
I don't know.
Why wouldn't they? I mean, that would make sense.
It's called book.
If you're smart.
It's called book.
Think about it. If you're
Schnabba schnabba knab book.
What did you
it's
just fucking
painting.
Say?
That wasn't
That wasn't Chinese.
That wasn't even Chinese.
Schnabba knabba knab schnabba book.
Yeah. That was the worst Chinese accent.
Come on, bro, man. Spot on.
Bro, your Chinese is horrible. Work on your fake Chinese.
Your schnabber schnabber's bad.
That's right?
This is the worst, right?
What when you like Swedish.
I don't know how many, times I've done that where I'm trying anything. To do an impression and it's just like, I don't know why.
That's when you just like give
I don't know
in.
Why
like,
I just went Irish. I was trying to do
You just completely go like, oh, fuck it.
Irish and Australian are the ones you fuck there. Up all the time. Yeah. You do an Irish guy, all of a sudden you do an Australian, and vice versa. It's like, what the fuck? How did that happen?
Yeah. You got to do a lot of tiddly tie and tidy too.
There you go. That's better.
Yeah.
That's Irish.
Yeah.
Yeah, so lately I've been doing a lot of podcast listening. Have you guys gotten an opportunity to listen to the Rhonda Patrick one?
Yeah, she blasts you with information. She's like information overload.
I've watched her YouTubes a few times, but I have not listened to her podcast.
If you're in the mood, it's called Found My Fitness. I'll give her a little plug. If you like heavy science, like just bombarding like your
laying
face.
Laying it thick.
Like bukkake your head full of science. Yeah. Like where it's just overwhelming. Like
down, yeah.
Found my fitness. And I love that shit. I love that.
Down to the molecule I love of like
the,
everything.
I love the bukkake of knowledge.
Yeah, that's great.
That she, you know.
Just blasted on your face.
Gives me.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was listening to an episode on her recent one on a compound called sulforaphane. Yeah, sulforaphane. That's the name of it. It's a compound found in cruciferous vegetables, and it made me think, you know, we don't talk enough about vegetables and why we should eat a shit ton of them. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, you guys remember when we interviewed Dr. Terry Walls?
Yes.
That was a little bit eye-opening for me.
It was a major eye-opening.
What did she say in terms of—
Six to nine.
Plates.
Servings. Well, she said handfuls.
Handfuls of vegetables.
Yeah,
a day,
yeah. Six to nine.
How many dinner plates? She actually pointed out it was like three.
Did she say dinner plates?
Yeah.
I don't know if she said actual dinner. Oh, she did say what the size of that was. I think you're right. I think it was about three or four. I just heard the six to nine. I'm thinking 6 to 9 cups, right? Because you basically hold about a cup in your hand. So 6 to 9 cups worth of
a day.
A day.
I'm definitely not doing
it. I guarantee you.
I wish I was.
Most people don't get that in a week. Most people probably don't get that in a month. I personally, but when we first interviewed her, I really, you know, found I had a lot of pride in myself that I would eat a lot of, you know, a large serving of vegetables every day. So I'd have one large serving of vegetables, which probably came out to, I don't know, it's probably 3-4 cups worth, which is a big, that's a big plate full of vegetables, right?
Yeah, you would eat a big one for sure.
A big one. But after talking to her and then after listening to Dr. Rhonda Patrick and then doing more research, like, I'm like halfway where I should be to get the optimal benefits. And it's interesting because when you look at these studies of people who eat vegetarian diets, like the Seventh-day Adventists, which is this like religious group in Loma Linda, California, and they are among the world's longest living people, and they're vegetarians, a lot of their health benefits, I would bet, is just coming from that.
Of course.
Not necessarily that they cut like meat out.
Of course. I'm so glad you went that direction because I was about to say something about this is the problem, though, that I have with all this great information is now this is where you get
it's not that they're not eating
this
meat.
This is where you get veganism coming from, you know, where these guys become so holy roller about being a vegan because of all these great things that are because. But in reality, that's just because you're not eating any of these meats. You got to fill all those calories up with something else. So you're eating tons of fruits and vegetables and seeds and nuts, which I would venture to say are probably some of the most lacking nutrients that most people are not getting. The average American just doesn't eat a lot of those.
No.
Think about how often people have seeds, nuts, berries, and fucking fruits and vegetables. Well, and I mean a lot of them.
Well, think about it this way. Like I used to have...
That's the bulk of your diet when you're a vegan.
Well, look at this. Think about it this way. I used to have typically sometimes one meal a day, sometimes two or three. But I would always have one large serving of vegetables. Well, now, if I eat more than one meal, if I have, you know, two or three meals, I have vegetables at every sitting now. Mm-hmm. That's something I didn't do before. Think about it. Like, if a person's going to eat vegetables, when do they include vegetables in their diet? Dinner.
Yeah.
There is no vegetables for lunch. There's no staple. Like, it's not a part of
unless it's just salad, but then people, like, kind of go on salad kicks. They go off salad kicks, but they're not, like, having a consistent vegetable group.
And it's not very varied. Usually a salad, if you look at typical American salad,
I'll be the first to admit. I'll be the first to admit that I was definitely someone like this. Like, and I kind of knew it. Like, you just, it's one of those things. Even when, like, I used to prep food for shows and stuff, it's like one of the last things that I worry about because it's like, I don't, you know, to eat cold vegetables reheated the next day is just like, ugh. You know what I'm saying? It's not, it's the worst part of those eating super, super clean like that.
And it doesn't have the, you know, it's not essential for right now because I have my proteins and my carbs.
Exactly. So if I, you know, I 100% would neglect it. Now, when I say neglect, I mean like I'm doing like a serving a day, like Sal was saying, if that. And, you know, I knew when after we listened to her, I was like, God damn, 6 to 9, that's so much. And I just did a post and someone was asking me recently, you know, if I'd been targeting that after listening to her talk. It's been something that's been on my mind a lot. And I'll be honest, like, I am not consistently still getting that much. But just because it's now become something that I'm so aware how much I was grossly under eating them, I'm way better than what I was a month ago, you know? Mm-hmm. So for me, it's like, and that's what this is all about. Well, during this journey is it's okay. You don't like, not everybody is going to be fucking badass. Like, you know, she is at doing that, or not everybody's going to be vegan and that's all they fucking eat all day long. So they're fine. Like, you know, and not everybody's going to be like Sal, who's that conscious and then does it right. Like, you know, there's going to be steps in this process.
Well, I just think making a conscious effort to eat more of them because they're so beneficial for your health. When you dive into the studies done, especially on vegetables, especially on the greens, like the cruciferous ones and the leafy greens, you find some remarkable effects. Mm-hmm. The anti-cancer effects from some of these compounds that are found in these vegetables are remarkable. In animal studies, they'll reduce certain cancer rates by 30%. They'll increase the longevity of an animal by 10 to 15%. And then when they do human studies, it finds the same stuff. In fact, there was a study done where they had where they were doing it was smokers. Excuse me, they were surveying smokers, and smokers with the most or with high vegetable intake had something like a 30% less instance of getting lung cancer than their peers.
Wow!
I mean, there are some incredible benefits to eating vegetables, and I think here's something. Look,
is it the hormetic effect or like you know you're. Some of those like plants, they have like a natural pesticide that they produce or whatever, and then it gives you this sort of a hormetic effect in small doses.
Okay, so here's that's the thing. There are things found in plants that we have recently just discovered, have now studied and seen to have amazing benefits, and then there's other compounds in there that we still aren't. We still don't know what they do.
Well, the micronutrients for sure.
None of them are vitamins and minerals. We know the vitamins and minerals that are in them. We know the proteins, fats, and carbs that may be in them, but we don't. There's so many other things in them that to try to mimic that in processed food. First of all, we don't know them to begin with, so it's not like we can you know make one that's identical or make a processed food that has all those things or a replacement powder that has all those things because we still haven't identified all of them. We don't understand how they work together. So, and this is another huge knock to the IIFYM crowd where, you know, that becomes the main, you know, the most important thing is proteins, fats, carbohydrates. And for some people, that becomes the only thing. All of these phytonutrients and, you know, flavonoids and other types of, you know, chemicals found in vegetables have some incredible benefits. Like one of them, indole-3-carbinol. Indole-3-carbinol is found in cruciferous vegetables. And if you have a nice intake of it from cruciferous vegetables, it will take, because your body makes a certain amount of estrogen, you know, all the time, male or female. It reduces the estrogenic form, the more estrogenic form of estrogen, and it turns it into something that's less reactive, which is a good thing because too much of the estrogenic form of estrogen, or the one that's more estrogenic, I should say, can promote certain types of cancers, can promote certain types of side effects. So it's very potent at that. In fact, they're studying indole-3-carbinol for breast cancer in particular, and that's found in all of your, you know, it's in broccoli. I think there's a decent amount of it in Brussels sprouts. It also contains, like I said, sulforaphane, which is a sulfur compound. Also, incredible anti-cancer benefits. By the way, some of these things, some of these nutrients are not found in frozen versions of vegetables, which I just recently learned.
Yeah,
because I thought frozen vegetables were, it's not a big deal. Yeah, it's the same thing.
That's what I was always told. Like, there's really not that big a difference if you're going to freeze, you know, the vegetables versus having it fresh. But so apparently that's not accurate anymore. Huh?
The difference you'll find is with these types of nutrients. You're not going to find too much of a difference with vitamins, minerals, and that kind of stuff.
What is? I wonder what it is. Is there some sort of an oxidation process that happens?
That's a good question. I don't know. Maybe it's getting degraded or destroyed. I do know that cooking vegetables at very, very high temperatures destroys some of it, but we've talked about this in the past.
Yeah.
This is why I think having some raw vegetables and having a lot of cooked vegetables is probably your best bet because you're going to get a nice variety. Just so many different things.
Did you happen to read the post I did on Instagram today or no?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so I did it on the endocrine system, and you know, my whole message that I was trying to get across was there's so many things that, and vegetables or leafy greens in our diet, right, affects the signal that we're sending to all these important hormones in our body. And a lot of these hormones have a lot to do with us building muscle, us burning fat, and our metabolism. And so if you're somebody who isn't doing this already, which I fucking know 90% people, because I know I'm not, and I'm fucking really good at this shit, like, right, just like you, and you thought you were really great at it, and you're still under, like,
right,
this is an area that we can all improve on that is going to affect that system, which in turn affects our hormones, which in turn affect how our metabolism works and our, and how we build muscle and how we burn fat. So if that's the case, and let me tell you, getting that in line and fixing these types of things are going to benefit us fucking 10 times more than any pill or powder out there that we could possibly purchase. And that is like the idea is that, listen, I'm not saying you can't do this. I'm not saying this study for branched chain amino. I'm not saying that all the bullshit that you've been fed for so long. All I'm saying is fucking work on something that doesn't cost you any money, really. Get better at that. Get your systems running correctly and watch what a difference that makes in your overall journey, whether it be build a bunch of muscle, burn a bunch of fat, or just be fucking healthier.
Well, you know, talking about this kind of stuff makes me realize, like, if people just prioritize vegetables and ate more of them, a lot more of them, you would get a cascading effect with the rest of their diet. So even if they went into it thinking, I'm not going to change my diet,
you end up even craving, you know, those types of foods more.
You do that, you save money because vegetables are relatively cheap. They fill you up. So then you're probably going to eat less of the garbage that you would normally have.
Yeah.
And then you've got all these other health benefits, just like that lung cancer study. Many of the compounds found in vegetables may offset some of the negative shit that will happen to you from the bad stuff that you do, whether it's smoking, alcohol, or, you know, shitty food. There's compounds found in vegetables that stop the conversion from pro-carcinogenic compounds to full-blown carcinogenic compounds. Can't remember the name of them, but I just recently learned about them. So it actually interrupts that step, meaning it reduces risk of cancer from things that are pro-carcinogenic that you may be getting from processed foods or from pollutants. They've done studies on people who are exposed to pollution. Those that consume the most vegetables, dramatic reduction in
cancer.
What
was that vegetable you were talking about growing? Because
Broccoli sprouts. Broccoli sprouts are very, very high in some of these nutrients, and it's very easy to grow. Like, all you need is a jar of water. They're super cheap.
Well, you can just grow them. Broccoli and kale are probably one and two, right, as far as the top ones.
Yeah. It depends. See, that's the thing.
And that's a good point, too.
Yeah, right? Because you got to be careful.
Different benefits, yeah.
Yes, there are different types of flavonoids in each, you know, type of vegetable. There's different types of, you know, betalains and phenols and terpenes and triterpenes and all kinds of different
chlorophyll,
classes.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah, all kinds of different classes of chemicals, and you'll find more in some and less in others and in completely different ones. Like the colors of vegetables. There are chemicals that give vegetables their color, and those chemicals have unique benefits. So if you eat a blue fruit or a green vegetable or a yellow vegetable or a red one or whatever, just because it has a different color, that alone will show you that there's a variety or a variance in their chemical breakdown, and you're going to get, you know, unique benefits to those things. So color is very important when it comes to, you know, eating these things. The greens, definitely very important. I think the bulk of them should be greens, but go for, like, I make sure to have, you know, the bell peppers and, you know, the purple kale, you know, the red kale. I'll go for all the different ones to get those, you know.
Well, and let's be honest, like, and this is why we had this in the nutrition guide, like, the each one of those, and we could have, I mean, not me, because I can't tell you, I can't remember, I don't have the memory here, but I know Sal could probably go through each one of those colors, and each one of them provide different benefits, and that's the whole idea. And like, when we put that in the nutrition guide of teaching people about color and teaching them how to choose their foods, it sucks that if we ever get like a complaint that comes from the nutrition guide, it's like this people wanting us to tell us the meal plan to follow. And it's like, that's the problem, is there's so much nutrients out there for your body to get, and all these things provided, that the goal is to rotate through all of it and to not just stick to a meal plan and to not be doing the same thing over and over, but to be rotating through all of these things, you know. And then we provide the goal calculator in there so they can kind of figure out an idea of where their macronutrients should be. But really it's trying to teach you to eat from these lists. We give you this huge list of foods, like, and then to rotate through all of them, because each of them have these great benefits.
Well, so here's something that I started doing recently, and I love it when I'm able to change something kind of fundamental, especially now, because at each point I think I'm, you know, every time I learn more, I think to myself, like, okay, cool, I'm at a point now where I think I'm set, and then I learn something else and become more aware of other things I'm doing and change something in a more positive way. And recently what happened is I did not realize that I considered a meal something that had to contain proteins, fats, and carbohydrates or calories. In other words, if I ate a bunch of broccoli, to me that wasn't a meal unless I had some meat with it or something else with it. Okay, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or, you know, now what I'm doing is I'm having a meal sometimes that's just vegetables. Whereas before, that would feel super incomplete to me. I would feel like, no, that's not a meal I need to have. Or I'd eat the vegetables at the end of my meal. I'm now beginning my meals with vegetables, and I have entire meals that are just vegetables. Now, in the past, I've done the whole where I'll do a pure vegan day, which I've told you guys in the past. I feel fantastic when I do it, and the more I learn about the amazing benefits of vegetables, the more I'm realizing a lot of it's coming from the fact that it's vegetables and not from the fact that I may be cutting other things out, because I tend to eat a lot of them, you know, on those days.
No, you were the one that kind of inspired me to start doing this. Is, and I don't know if you noticed, but last time we were at Whole Foods, this is how I got my food. Was I had the big, you know, they give you the two sizes, right? You have the big one and then you have the little square one, and I get the big one and I loaded it up with tons of green beans, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, and I think cabbage or something else. And I just like filled that whole thing up. And then I had like a little side one of some like beef or something they had in there. But I'm just, all I was eating was the vegetables. And then I was like, that with the meat, the way I looked at the meat was I'm going to fill myself up on the meat after I fill myself up first. And I've just never ate that way before. Like, it's never been like where I have having like 3 to 4 cups of just all types of different vegetables, and I'm eating all of that. And then it's like, okay, then I'll spill over into my like higher fat meat and then enjoy that. Like, that's a new way of teaching myself to eat. And then part of that is something that I feel I have to do in order to hit these types of numbers. Because if you just go about it and say, hey, I'm going to start trying to eat 6 to 9 cups of vegetables every single day, and then you're just going to pack it on your already habits that you do or your normal way of eating, you'll find you're going to fail. Because you've trained yourself to eat this way for so long, where you indulge in your proteins, fats, and carbs first, and then you come over here and you hit your vegetables.
You have to establish all new patterns.
Yeah,
right? Absolutely. It's just a lot like training. It's really, you have to address it as like a new focal point, and then how frequently can you make it, turn this into a pattern that turns into a ritual, that's something that, you know, it becomes a lifestyle. And so, yeah, it's... And however you can get there. So obviously there's steps to get there. And so you got to just start by including it more often. And that's a great step.
Now, when you guys are being conscious about eating, you know, like more vegetables, and when I say more, like you're eating pretty consistently, what are some of the things that stand out that you notice with yourself? I mean, there's certain things that I notice for myself that are very objective, and I can clearly see, you know, when I start doing it, but I'm curious to see what
satiety,
you guys...
satiety, inflammation, and energy levels. Those are the three I notice the most.
So you say reduction in inflammation. Justin, do you notice anything like that?
Mm-hmm.
You
do, right? Very similar. Uh-huh.
So what does it feel? What do you guys, when you say reduction in inflammation, are you guys talking about just general like stiffness, like takes you?
No,
time
not
to
just
up?
General stiffness. Even like bloat, like in and inflammation like that. So
just
like
swelling.
Yeah, swelling altogether. Uh-huh. So I can feel it. I can see it on my body. It's very visual for me.
I feel less joint pain for me typically. So
vegetables, there are compounds found in vegetables that have some pretty potent anti-inflammatory properties. We know now that inflammation is one of the main drivers of some of the detrimental effects of aging. Now, of course, you want to solve the root of inflammation to reduce it, not necessarily treat the inflammation itself like a Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. And vegetables seem to do that. They seem to work with the body's system in a way that your body has a healthy inflammatory response. They believe this to be one of the main reasons why people who eat a lot of vegetables, like I'll read a statistic to you right here. This is a pretty proven statistic. The top 20 people who eat the most vegetables have a 16% reduction in all-cause mortality. That means heart disease, diabetes, cancer, like all the diseases you can get across the board, it's a 16% reduced risk, which is pretty significant. There's not many other things you could do that will reduce your risk that much. Now, you add exercise to that, and you add, you know, maybe a couple of other things like getting good sleep and that kind of stuff, and that's significant. I mean, think about it this way. If you increase your lifespan by 10%, and let's say the average human, by the time we're going to be old, maybe the average person lives till they're 80, I mean, that's 8 years. Yeah. That's 8 years that you could add to your lifespan and the quality of life, the dramatic improvement in quality of life. And I know it's a long time from now, right? If we're lucky, we'll live, you know, that long. We'll have no accidents and we can do all that. But let me tell you something. I can't imagine the hell it must be to be in a body that has completely failed you and you still have a couple years left to live because you're being supported by medicine and hospitals and doctors.
Nobody thinks about that.
That's
a hard thing to get people to really, you know, think that far ahead.
Well, you know what's crazy, even crazier, bro, is that that's not that fucking far ahead.
I know.
It's like it's that far ahead when it's that extreme, because I think that's right. What when people hear that, that's what they think right away. But it starts with a lot of people 30 years old, 40 years old, and they start with all these blood pressure medications. Then they're taking something for joint pain. Then they're taking something for their sleep. Then they're next thing you know, they got a whole fucking pharmacy in their bathroom, and they're living off of all these prescriptions, and they're doing all these things to try and band-aid all their systems failing. You know, your body's got 11 different systems, and all of them are extremely responsible for all these really important things. And our diet, nutrition, sleep, those are like the three most common that affect like all of them. Yeah. And us not focusing on that right now in our youth, man, is just you're just setting yourself up for that's your story, bro. That's your story. You're going to end up taking it'll start with one. Mm-hmm. It's not a big deal because it's one. You know what I'm saying?
And then poor health doesn't motivate you to move anymore. Yeah. Well, you know, sit around and then it just accelerates.
That's a great point. Two things. Number one, most of the cost of healthcare in this country, the big bulk of the expensiveness of healthcare that is threatening to bankrupt us in the future. Goes to end-of-life care. So however old you are when you die, it's those last, you know, it's those 3-4 years before or 5 years before that are so fucking expensive because you're just having a shitty quality of life.
Yeah.
So that's something to think about. Like, I don't know. If I'm going to die of some random disease, I would like up until that point to be pretty healthy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Versus like living, you know, for years feeling, you know, absolutely horrible.
Oh, yeah. The quality of life is everything.
That's number one. Here's number two. And I want you to think about this right now if you're listening. Think about how effective you are as a human being when you feel really good. Okay. Right. When you feel your best, like imagine that right now. Maybe
how
you feel
productive. You
maybe are. You feel shitty right now. Maybe you're whatever. But I'm sure at some point you can think at a time in your life or a day or whatever where you just woke up in the morning and you were just like, God damn it, I feel like a machine. Like, I feel so fucking good. I'm so happy. Nothing can piss me off. I feel invincible. I can do anything I want. I feel like I can conquer the world. I'm not anxious about anything. Challenges seem trivial. Like, I'm sure there was a moment when you could think that you had that feeling, that physical feeling that then changed the way you behave, changed the way you reacted to people, changed all the things you did, your productivity. Now, you can duplicate that. You can duplicate that feeling, and a lot of it has to do with the types of food that you eat and the types of food that you don't eat.
God, such a powerful point when people really start to think about that, dude, that you have that control. You have that control to create for yourself, but fuck, man, I don't know where or when it started for us as humans, but we like to play the victim role, man. We love to blame others, and it's like, oh my God, like, you know, life is just so hard on me, you know.
It's so silly to think that something that we do on a daily basis that include you know, where we're putting food in our mouth every single day that is providing our body with essential nutrients, calories, you know, macronutrients, but also all these chemicals. There's these tremendous amount of chemical reactions that happen from putting food in our mouth and through the process of digesting it and utilizing those things. So many that we haven't even probably identified most of them or their relationship to each other. You do that every single day. It is absolutely fucking silly to think that that's not going to have the biggest impact on how you feel.
Well, this is another reason why we have such a huge problem with IIFYM.
Huge problem.
Because they
that's the problem.
Because this is the part that they just going to go ahead and ignore and talk about your proteins, fats, and carbs, and that's all that fucking matters in life. And it's like, no, it's not, dude. There's so much stuff coming out, and that's why they can get away with it, is because we're still learning that area. We're still finding out, and people like us have already read enough to know that, like, oh, we know enough now to know that's not how it is. Yeah. But there's still the common man and woman don't know that, and so then a company like them, or I don't even know fucking if it's a company or a person who's who started that. Did we figure that out?
We ever did.
Yeah. Can we find that out just so I could talk shit about that one person instead of like, I feel like whenever I bring that up,
it's like a group of old bodybuilders.
I don't want to offend everybody that's done it, because we've talked about some of the benefits behind it already before that. Hey, there's some good things that it does help you do, but this is the piece I just want to reiterate that drives me crazy about it, is they just neglect to talk about all these little things.
Well, they forget about it. And in fact, this just dawned dawned on me. I can't believe I just thought of this. When you read the branding, the term, if it fits your macros, it implies that you can eat it if it fits your macros. That's why it exists that way, right?
Yeah.
So in other words,
like you're fine.
In other words, if I'm your coach and you're asking me, hey Sal, can I eat, you know, so and so? Can I eat a box of this or can I eat that? And I'll be like, well, does it fit your macros? Then yes, you can. So it implies that because that is inherently part of their system. I understand that they, you know, monitoring fats, carbohydrates, proteins, and calories is very important, especially when it comes to weight loss or weight gain. But if you ignore all the potential harmful shit that you find in processed foods that has nothing to do with calories, or you ignore all the incredibly remarkable benefits from all of the chemicals and phytonutrients and flavonoids and chlorophylls and all the different types of things that we've identified and have yet to identify in natural foods that have been on Earth, you know, in some way, shape, or form since we've been here or longer, that we've evolved with, you're ignoring that. I can't stand behind that. You know what I mean? I can't support what they talk about because they ignore these amazing things. And like I said, if you eat shitty and you don't change your diet, will you get healthier simply by dramatically increasing your intake of these colorful vegetables? Yes.
Yeah, right.
And that's the thing. That's the thing. It does have an effect on your body, an incredible effect on your body. And like I said, knowing this, and look, we live in this amazing.
Yeah, but how about people like this? How about people that tell you that I don't like them? I don't like them. they just decide they're not going to eat them because
they're over it.
Right? Yeah. I don't like them. I don't like the way they taste, bro.
Yeah, okay. Start eating. No, I mean, here's the thing. Like, number one, figure out ways to prepare foods like vegetables that maybe you'll enjoy.
Well, this is what I was trying to serve you up was that's the thing to me that I think before, and I'll be the first to admit this, like, when I used to think of my vegetables, I was like, okay, they're vegetables. They're supposed to be good for me, so I want them steamed with nothing on them. Like, I don't want to put salt or oil or butter or bacon with or anything with it. It's like it's because I don't want to take away from what this great food, which is not true.
No, it's not.
And you can actually
olive oil, man. Yeah, add that shit to your vegetables. Oh, yeah.
When you get better at cooking them, it changes everything.
It does. Yeah. I do this olive oil and balsamic vinegar.
Oh,
I love red pepper on it, and then I grill these asparagus. Oh, dude, they're like, it's bomb. So there's a lot of ways that you can make these vegetables taste a lot better if you're somebody who doesn't like them.
You can, and as you eat them regularly, you will find that you'll enjoy them more and more. You do develop a taste for them.
Yep, you start to crave it. Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, let's think about this. I think this is getting into the microbiome and stuff. Like, I feel like there's something that happens to you, right? Like, you've gone this long in your life, your body doesn't really feel like it's missing it because you don't know what it's like having it consistently in there. Then all of a sudden you decide.
It feels good. When you're healthy, you feel good.
Right.
And it's like, oh, how do I like do this again? How do I feel this again?
And this didn't start happening to me till later on, until I started really eating more and more vegetables. So like I said, I still am under eating and grossly compared to where I should be, but I'm way better than what I was the year before and the year before that. And now I like, if I know that I'm low, like, even if I haven't been paying attention, I'm not tracking, which I'm not right now, right? My body will tell me. Like, it'll go, I'll crave a salad. I never craved a salad in my entire life until I was in my 30s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's because until my 30s, I never made it an effort to continue to fuel my body with all of these, you know, micronutrients that my body needs. And now that it's gotten it, it lets me know when I haven't had it. It says, hey, dude.
It rewards you.
Yeah, and exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some people right now may not think that they're lacking in those areas, or they think they're getting enough, but have you ever pushed to those limits where you're getting that much and do it consistently enough to where your body, your chemistry, the inside of you changes and shows you, let it show you, man.
Well, here's a piece of advice. If you are looking to for an easy way to kind of put together something and not track and just kind of, okay, I'm just going to loosely put together a healthy diet, try this. Eat vegetables for breakfast, vegetables for lunch, and then dinner you can have your proteins, fats, and your carbs, and have some vegetables then too. That approach right there, if you're trying to lose weight or you know, reduce your calories, is quite effective. You're going to get lots of nutrients. You're going to feel really good from eating that way, and it's kind of an easy, loose way to eat in a way that's going to help you with your fat loss goals and with your overall health goals is just by doing those types of things. I mean, I have Brussels sprouts sometimes when I do eat breakfast for breakfast. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And people laugh, but
that's breaking weird. The mold.
Yeah, you are.
I mean, why not, right?
Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, I love your ability to...
with cereal. Yeah, you up with Brussels sprouts.
part of why I think it's always been great and why the show would never work with just one of us, we've talked about this before, is because I think it's important for people to kind of see the phases that, you know, maybe there'll be a day where I'm in this phase where I enjoy opening a can of sardines and having Brussels sprouts for breakfast. Maybe. And I'm here's the thing that's cool. I'm an open-minded enough guy that, like...
Just start a bet on that.
I would, right? Yeah. I would work towards that. But right now, I just can't see... I don't see that happening. But I do 100%. And I'll tell you my strategy, like, going forward right now, the new year, this is kind of one of the things that I'm focusing on, right? I didn't pick one New Year's resolution. This is one area that I want to improve on this year, and that is getting so I'm going to take some stuff that we've learned from Dr. Rhonda Patrick, and I'm going to make, you know, try and do at least, you know, it, and right now for me, since I'm not doing this, I'm going to start with an easy goal that I can obtain first, and then I'll build on top of that. So I'm going to add one of her like super smoothies that she makes with just an array of different types of vegetables and some fruit. And that's going to become like an every other day thing that I do on top of what I was already doing.
Excellent.
And then I'm going to watch and evaluate how my body responds and feels to that. And then I'll build on top
Excellent.
Of that.
One more thing I forgot to add before we sign off here on the benefits of vegetables. Broccoli and other and cruciferous vegetables contain a compound that reduces the amount of DHT, circulating dehydrotestosterone, which is a version of testosterone that is responsible for male pattern baldness. So they actually is some loose evidence that increasing this intake quite a bit will reduce hair loss, and in animal studies has shown to help hair regrowth.
That's some bullshit. I eat hella broccoli.
It's true, man. Hey, listen, if you like Mind Pump, leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. If we like your review and we pick it, you will win a free Mind Pump t-shirt. Also, find me on Instagram at Mind Pump Sal. You can find Justin at Mind Pump Justin, Adam's at Mind Pump Adam, and Doug is at Mind Pump Doug.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now, plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.